This is The Sporkful.
Today on The Sporkful, the search for perfection in love and wings with the director and star of the new documentary comedy, The Great Chicken Wing Hunt. Here's a clip.
I feel like I believe that everything that you can possibly imagine existing in the world is out there. And if you look hard enough, you'll find it, you know?
I really do want to find the perfect wing.
I don't think there is a perfect wing.
I understand what you're saying, but I want to believe that there are perfect things in life. There's the perfect relationship or the perfect song and the perfect day and the perfect wing.
All right.
I think it's out there, waiting to be found.
Are you married?
This is The Sporkful. It's not for foodies, it's for eaters. I'm Dan Pashman, and we're about to challenge your assumptions about consumption and drop a sporkful of knowledge on you. Because we're obsessively compulsive about eating more awesomely, and because if history has taught us anything, it's that the hosts of food shows need a lot of catchphrases. The Super Bowl is approaching, and 2014 marks the 50-year anniversary of the invention of the Buffalo Wing. It took place at the Anchor Bar back in 1964, so it seems like the perfect time to be talking wings. I know that at the end of last show, I said this show was going to be about Chinese New Year. That was the plan, but I just couldn't get that show together in the way that I wanted to do it just right. So I'll do it next year. There's going to be another Chinese New Year, but this week, our topic for rumination and mastication is the Great Chicken Wing Hunt. Another great reason for us to be talking about wings right now is that I have a new cooking channel web series that has just launched. It's called You're Eating It Wrong, and it looks at ways to eat foods to make them more delicious. And the first three videos are up now. They're up on sporkful.com. One is about falafel. One of them is about how to eat a slice of pizza. And then the other video that's up so far is about wings. I interview competitive eater Crazy Legs Conti, and he demonstrates a couple techniques for how to eat wings, one called the bone splitter and one called the meat umbrella, that are amazing and glorious and wonderful, and you need to see them. I mean, the meat umbrella alone will have you praying for rain. So check those out. You can find the videos at sporkful.com and keep your eyes open for more installments of my new cooking channel web series, You're Eating It Wrong. But onto today's topic, which is this new documentary comedy, The Great Chicken Wing Hunt. It's making the rounds in the festivals. It's available on iTunes for purchase. It's going to be available on Hulu January 30th. I sat down with the director and star of the film, Matt Reynolds, at the Village Poorhouse on 3rd Avenue in New York City. And it got pretty deep. And that was even before we started eating wings. So I'm here at the Village Poorhouse with Matt Reynolds. Hey, Matt.
Hey, Dan.
So I watched the movie last night, and first off, just have to tell you how much I enjoyed it. I felt like I identified with it a lot. The Sporkful is very much a podcast about eating and about seeking new and better ways to eat. And there's a lot of one of the recurring themes, which we'll get to more in our conversation later, is this idea of perfection, trying to find the perfect wing, the perfect bite. So here's the plan for this interview. I want to spend the first chunk of time, we're going to talk about the film.
Right.
Which will, of course, necessitate discussion of wings.
Right.
But then we're going to order some wings. Mm-hmm. We're going to sit here and eat some wings together and talk about how we like to eat the wings that we're eating as we eat them.
Right, right, right.
Does that sound good?
That sounds great.
Okay.
That sounds great.
So, you're from upstate New York.
That's right.
Which is, of course, where the Buffalo Wing was born. Tell me about the role that Buffalo Wings played in your childhood.
I grew up in a little town called Lyons, about 2 hours east of Buffalo. So, the wings didn't really completely get to that part of the country into the late 70s, early 80s. But I really just took to them right away. I remember there being like a brief period where they were too spicy for me. And then I started being able to tolerate the spice. And then the people around me were like, oh my God, there's a 5-year-old that can eat wings. It's amazing. And I think I liked the attention of that probably, which made me want them even more. And then I just really started to love them.
Right. Because there's a moment in the movie where you're doing like some radio interview. And you say, I had an ulcer when I was 8 because of chicken wings. I was like, wait, what? Is that true?
Yeah. Well, I had some kind of stomach irritation, and that was a long-term issue. And the doctor said, I had to stop eating wings or I would develop an ulcer. So it's kind of shorthanded to say I had an ulcer. But yeah, that's true. I had to stop eating wings for like 6 months and I had to drink this kind of like slimy green liquid that was supposed to help coat my stomach or something.
But you're fully recovered.
Yes. Yes. That has never come back up.
Right.
But yeah, I'm fully recovered. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I'm glad to hear that. So you're living in Slovakia. You've been living there for years.
Uh-huh.
And you decide you're going to set out and find the perfect chicken wing.
Uh-huh.
But not before teaching the Slovaks about wings. What was their reaction? Tell me about teaching the people of Slovakia about buffalo wings.
So I got into, I came to Europe in the late 90s, and this is the Eastern, the former Eastern Bloc, the communist part. So there was less infiltration of American culture there, including that they didn't have buffalo wings. So I would have my parents ship me bottles of Frank's hot sauce, and I would throw these huge wing parties that became very popular. People would bring friends of friends, and suddenly it was a reoccurring kind of thing where every few months I would throw a wing party and 30 or 40 people would show up, and it got like very rowdy and very, very, very fun. And we decided that the Slovaks, we would take a group of them on a wing tour in New York State, like you might go on a wine tour to France.
Right. But this sounds much fancier than that.
Right, exactly. Much more pretentious. Right. And then that just kind of evolved eventually into this quest to find the world's best wing.
Well, because this leads me to one of the things I want to talk to you about, which is that my wife's whole family is from Slovakia.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So now she's born in America, but she, you know, her parents were born, they grew up in Košice, which is, and you were in Bratislava.
It's a great city, though. Yeah.
Yeah. Košice is beautiful. Yeah. My wife went there and taught English for 6 months, and I went and visited her there. Uh-huh. My Slovak's not as good as yours, but I've certainly eaten my share of brinzova halushki. So your girlfriend, Lucy, in the film, she is Slovak. She comes
Czech.
With you. She's Czech, but all right, let's not split hairs.
Yeah.
All right. And so my wife is Slovak by descendants.
Right.
And you proceed to drag Lucy on this chicken wing hunt, just as I dragged my wife on a poutine hunt when we went to Quebec.
Oh.
And this was our baby moon. It was like before we're going to have our first child. And we're like, well, let's get away, the two of us.
Uh-huh.
And we were in Quebec for like 5 days, and I made her eat poutine every single day so we could try the poutine in all different places. And she was a very good sport, as is Lucy in the film.
Yeah.
Now, and Lucy plays a big part of the film, and we'll talk. I want to talk more about that a little later on. But first, let's talk about the wing hunt itself.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here on The Sporkful, we often start by defining our terms. Mm-hmm. So I really liked that in the film you did the same. How do you define the buffalo wing?
A unbreaded, deep-fried chicken wing coated in a pepper vinegar sauce, usually Frank's. That was the one that was used originally.
Right, Frank's Red Hot. That's
Frank's
the original.
Yeah, yeah.
And nowadays, it's different things, but that's the original.
Butter, unbreaded, and deep fried. And that's basically it. And then, you know, you can do a lot of different things with the recipe. But that's the basis. So we were throwing out anything that was breaded. We were throwing out, you know, we weren't looking for a honey mustard wing. We weren't looking for a teriyaki wing.
Do you consider the buffalo wing to be a subset of the fried chicken family?
That's a good question. I think of fried chicken more as like a pan-fried, breaded, you know, kind of thing. I don't know.
I would argue that the buffalo wing is in the fried chicken family.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I think it's sort of like a distant cousin. You know,
right.
It's kind of a black sheep, perhaps, because like the breading makes a big difference.
Yeah, yeah.
It's hard to, when you think of fried chicken, you think of it being breaded.
Right, right.
But, I mean, if we just take the words at face value.
Yeah, it's chicken, it's fried.
It's fried chicken, right?
Yeah, that's
so,
true, yeah.
So that's my argument.
Yeah.
Now, when you set out on the hunt, you took a very scientific approach, which I really appreciate.
Yeah.
And you had score sheets. Who developed these score sheets?
A group of scientists at Michigan University. Yeah, statisticians. It's funny, when we were doing, it was kind of a friend of a friend who had kind of hooked that up for us, and these scientists were like, oh, it's great. You know, we're always doing cancer and stuff. It's fun for us, you know. So
cancer research was put on hold
right.
for this, Matt.
Someone may have
That's
died.
Just great.
So they flew in, right? And part of the scorecards were a series of questions about mood and sobriety and such. They were doing the statistical regression to try to like factor out mood and fatigue, right? I mean, they were so that you'd get a nice bell curve, right?
Interesting.
And at one point, my friend who would kind of hook this up said, he turned to me and he goes, "Do you realize that this guy is like the second most important cancer researcher in the country?" And his name is Albert Levine at Michigan. And so that was cool. I didn't even realize till that moment that he was such an esteemed dude.
That's impressive. And before you set out on the hunt, you actually set up in order to make sure that you and your entire your motley crew mm-hmm. of wing hunters were all on the same page, and you were all going to be you're going to sort of set a common mm-hmm. bar for how good is a 3 versus a 5 versus a 7 right. on the scale. You did a control wing.
You did a control wing. Yeah, we stopped at a deli. The control wing was supposed to be a 5. So everybody knows, okay, this is a 5. So we're right. all on the same page. It was so bad we made it a 3. But, yeah, that was interesting. That was something I would not have thought of if not for the guys from Michigan.
And, I mean, do you feel in retrospect like the scoring system worked?
I do. I think what's just more important than the details of it, I mean, I think you can see it on our website. I think it was a good scoring system, but I think just to have something that was systematic helped. And I think also just it turned out that everybody on the trip was great and they all took it seriously, but just to keep everyone on task in a way too, so you don't forget, you know, so you don't walk into a place and just start talking about something else because you're sick of eating wings and kind of forget to have the wing register in your mind.
Right.
You know, you have this thing you have to do every time.
Right.
I think the discipline of it was good.
And do you think, I know I like to ask this question sometimes, I've taped shows or appeared at cooking competitions, and I'm often curious whether the chefs or the judges, what their opinion is about like going first versus going last. I know that you give the advice to people in the hunt starting out, don't give mm-hmm. all 10s on the first wing because right. you need to give yourself room to go up. How do you think the order that you went in affected the judging?
That's a really good question. I mean, Buffalo, many of the places in Buffalo did not have such a strong showing, and I wonder if it's because they came so late in the process. I don't think it's because we were sick of wings or weren't giving them a fair shake. I think it's because we were comparing them against the best wings we had on the trip, and maybe because we were comparing them against such a high benchmark, we were rating them a little lower than maybe we should have. And maybe the earlier places when we wanted to find something great and were more excited to hunt for wings, maybe we rated them a little bit more highly.
But it's also possible, we'll get into this more in a minute, but one of the recurring themes of the film is this sort of tension between sort of this seeking out the perfect platonic ideal versus mm-hmm. the idea of evolution and mm-hmm. change and progress.
Right, right, right.
So, which is a process that never ends.
Yeah,
that you never
right.
have a finished perfection.
Yeah.
And I think it's interesting that Buffalo, where the wing was invented, did poorly because often I find that a specific region that has invented a food may not always be the best at it after a while because they're stuck in their old ways.
Right, right, right.
Is that possible?
I think that's so. I mean, somebody in the movie posits the theory that Buffalo is kind of, that maybe, you know, some of the wings we found are part of the next evolution of wings. And they compare it to, the analogy they make is to pizza. At some point, there was something called pizza in Napoli, which was just like bread and sauce. And then, you know, it kind of had to go somewhere else before it reached its full potential.
And one of the finalists in the competition, and this was sort of one of the points of controversy of the film, we won't give away how it mm-hmm. ends, but he puts blue cheese into his actual sauce, which simultaneously kind of...
And celery,
yeah, right.
Yeah.
Which kind of simultaneously blows your guys' minds and also sets off a heated debate about whether or not these
right.
are
right.
buffalo wings. But that's an example of the kind of thing that you right. know, if you're stuck in the Buffalo bubble.
Right. And, you know, I should say it could have turned out to be bad, but it's really, really great.
Yeah.
It's really something.
Yeah. Yeah. I want that. Talk to me a little bit more about the score sheet and the criteria specifically mm-hmm. relating to judging the wings themselves. What were the criteria you were looking at in the score sheet? I should say, sorry, mm-hmm. Matt, but I will link to the score sheet through
okay,
my
cool.
website,
yeah, yeah.
through Facebook
yeah,
and Twitter, yeah. and people can also find it at...
Chickenwinghunt.com.
Okay.
It's on the page in the site called Media,
okay.
Where there's photos and things too. So this is not verbatim, but it was quality of the meat, the frying... greasiness. So that was, you know, if it was a low score, it meant they were too greasy. The consistency of the sauce, the overall quality of the sauce, this was an interesting one. To what extent the degree of the name of the sauce matched the actual flavor, which is a very roundabout way of saying, was it medium, was it hot, was
right.
it mild, and was there a spread? could you tell a difference between a mild and a medium?
That,
you
know, is great. That is a classic problem at so many at so many sort of bars that are just slinging wings and not paying attention.
Yeah.
Either they all seem the same.
Right, right.
Or they're poorly described.
Yeah.
So or both.
You could go to a wing place and get great wings, but the hot is not really hot enough, which we would take off points for that. I mean, a hot wing should be a little bit uncomfortable for people who don't like, or a lot uncomfortable for people who don't like spicy food. You know, I mean, you should be able to feel it if it's a hot wing. The most important category was overall flavor. So that was weighted like 40% against all the other categories.
You know, I have said here on the Sporkful before that I object to spiciness for the sake of spiciness.
I do think that there is, it's very, very silly when you start using extracts to create a wing that's so hot that it doesn't have any other flavor because you're using extracts, or it has that kind of bitter.
Extracts basically is just ridiculous.
Yeah, yeah.
Intense, pure spiciness you
right,
can
it's
add.
Right, it's just pulling the capsaicin out of the pepper, and it uses a chemical to do that, and then the chemical is discarded, but it leaves like a little imprint, so you can kind of taste that kind of chemically artificial flavor. So you're not getting the flavor of the peppers. All you're getting is the heat. And, you know, you create these wings where you have to sign a waiver to eat them, and you have a contest. And if you eat six, they're free, or you get a free T-shirt. And, I mean, I think all of that is pretty silly. You know, it's like, why not just have a contest where you let somebody punch you in the face or you slice your lip open with a razor blade? You know, like we did one of those. I got peer pressured into doing that at one of our stops, and it was probably good in the film because we addressed this point.
Right. Actually, I actually have that sound. let's hear it. And this is sort of the evolution as the spice sinks in more and more.
Right. At first, I'm like, you know, it's not so bad. And then it gets bad.
It's a clean burn. I just ignore it.
It's a carterized burn.
It is getting harder. It is hurting more.
Wow. This is day one.
It's a slow burn, and it just doesn't stop building. Now it hurts when I breathe.
Now I want to move on now, Matt, to what is more sort of, I think, the most interesting and compelling sort of overarching theme question of this film, which is, as I sort of alluded to it before, which is this question of the perfect wing.
Mm-hmm.
At the start of this show, I played the clip where you say, you know, you really believe there's a perfect wing out there. There's another part that listeners didn't hear where your girlfriend Lucy says, well, maybe instead of trying to find the perfect wing, you should just look for the best wing,
right,
which is an interesting distinction.
Right.
And I want to play another clip here. There's a moment when you're getting sort of discouraged about the wings that you're finding, and you're driving across upstate New York, you're getting sort of a little wistful, and you say some things, and then it cuts to Lucy. Right. She makes a comment, and then it goes back to you. Mm-hmm. Let's listen to that clip.
I'm a little bit surprised that we haven't found more people doing great things with wings. In a way, it mirrors like a lot of things in life. Most people aren't trying that hard. Most people don't care that much about what they're doing. I feel old saying that, but like, it's my experience.
It's not only about chicken wings. I think it's not about chicken wings. It's about like fulfilling your dreams.
I feel like I believe that everything that you can possibly imagine existing in the world is out there, and if you look hard enough, you'll find it, you know? And maybe that's not true.
What's your take on that question now? Does the perfect wing exist? Is everything you can imagine existing out there if you look hard enough?
I guess I'm less inclined to believe that those things exist. I think that growing up in a small town, you can kind of imagine that. You can think that anything you could imagine must be out there somewhere in the world. And then when you have traveled and experienced more, you realize that people are very similar everywhere, and that maybe there is less variation than you thought. So my thinking on that has changed. I guess you're chasing that moment where you just feel like, I can't imagine anything could be better. And I guess in your line of work, you're always kind of chasing that, which is interesting.
Yeah,
you're always looking for the
right.
You know,
well, because I've been writing a book that's going to be out in the fall. And in the book, I identify this concept that I call perfect deliciousness.
Mm-hmm.
But I kind of describe it more as this platonic ideal.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you don't ever get there, but, you know, you're always just trying to get closer and closer.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's kind of a double-edged sword because on one hand, I like the idea of always striving to make things more delicious, always striving at everything in life to make it better and better, find a better way. So much of what I do here on the Sporkful is about finding new and better ways to eat.
Right.
So I think there's merit in the pursuit of perfection, but there's also the danger of setting yourself up for disappointment.
Right. It's kind of like love. In a way, not to be corny, but
no,
it's
no,
like,
it is. Oh, this is a perfect segue, right. So go on.
Yeah, I mean, because when you fall in love and you get married to somebody, you want to believe that that person is the perfect person for you, and that your relationship, you know, that in some extent is down to fate, and that you could not be as happy with anybody else, but. Then once you are with someone for a long time, you realize that, you know, it takes work and that, you know, it's not always going to feel perfect.
Well, it's interesting because I do think this relates to your relationship with Lucy, which is a real part of the film. You know, as we said, at the top of the film, you're saying, I believe that there's a perfect wing. I believe that there's a perfect relationship.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But it's clear that you, at that point at the start of the film, feel like you haven't found either.
Right.
Even though at that point you had been with Lucy for 6 years.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, there's kind of a parallel to like making a decision about the perfect wing and making a decision about my relationship and or always be looking for something better.
Right. Exactly. Well, that's what I want to get to. Because at times Lucy in the film questions whether you love wings more than her.
Right.
And this is kind of, I was wondering whether maybe it's on some level what motivated you to go off on this hunt to quit your job and stop your work in Slovakia, come to the U.S. and make this movie and do this and bring her, it is that you had gotten to this point in your relationship with Lucy that paralleled your relationship to Wings, which is sort of like, you know, it was really great, but you hadn't experienced perfection.
Right.
And so you were feeling restless and you're sort of plagued by this idea that perfection is out there. I mean, you've been with this girl for 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, no offense, because I'm sure you guys, you know, you seem like a great couple in the film and all, but you've been together for 6 years and she's still not sure if you love chicken wings more than her.
Right. That's not a great sign. Right?
Yeah. All right. Yeah. And so there's that. And then there's this idea of I want to find perfection.
Right.
You know, with wings and I'm sort of chasing this impossible dream. But now what you're saying is that you're without me even prompting, you're comparing your relationship to wings.
Right.
To love. And that, you know, it isn't always the fairy tale.
Yeah.
I mean, is that a fair parallel? And what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think it is a fair parallel, and I think maybe the process of going through this quest to find the perfect thing taught me something about perfection and about life that is applicable to my relationship. I kind of go back and forth on it, to be honest with you, feeling like there's one person out there for me and kind of, you know, allowing myself to indulge in the idea, this romantic notion of love, and then the more practical, cynical side that thinks that relationships are a lot of work, and you know that's kind of the beauty of them is that you make this commitment, and
right,
you know.
But isn't that? I mean, I guess, and I think it's true with food as in love that maybe the best place to be is sort of a happy medium.
Right. Don't marry the first girl that you fell in love with. But
that's right. Just like you said, don't give a 10 to the first wing that you eat.
Right.
You got to give yourself room to give a higher score.
Exactly. But don't keep searching forever. You know?
Exactly. Just, and understand that, you know, like sometimes there can be two really freaking amazing wings and you might have an intense debate with your friends at the end of a documentary comedy about which one should win the award.
And eventually you just pick one.
And eventually you just pick one. But you know what? You probably would have been pretty happy with either one because they're both really great wings for you.
Right.
All right. Should we eat some wings?
Let's do it. I'm having one while I listen to you because I'm hungry.
Wait, which one is that? Is that
this
hot?
This is a hot one.
Okay.
Is that okay?
Or yeah, no, go ahead. Go ahead. There's two different shapes of wings. This is not something you got into in the film. There are the mini drumsticks or drumettes. Yeah. And then the flats or paddles, that's the one that is the two parallel bones.
Yeah, I mean, the terms that I usually use are drummy and flatty.
Yeah.
But there's many different terms.
That's right.
Yeah.
Do you have an opinion about which is better?
You know, I don't know, again, if this is an upstate New York thing and just growing up in the region, but I'm agnostic on that question, and most of the people that I grew up with who were wing eaters are.
I'm shocked and disappointed to hear that.
Yeah, it's funny. I like both. I kind of go back and forth on any given day. I might prefer one over the other. I think that the...
What do you see as the pros and cons of
each? I think that the meat in the flatty is a little tastier. There's more skin. Usually you get a little bit more sauce because it's a flat surface. And you can kind of... If you're dipping into sauce, it retains sauce better. But it's more work.
Matt, you're worried about more work. You're the man that is talking about this pursuit of perfection.
Yeah, and
you're not willing to put in that
I don't
hard
usually
work.
Mind.
Didn't you say in the movie that most people just aren't that committed to their jobs?
Yeah.
They're not. Aren't you willing to work
that's
a little
true.
Harder?
That's a good point. So if you only could eat one wing and you wanted to have the best possible taste experience, I guess you would go for the flatty.
The flat, of course.
Yeah, yeah.
I have a web video about how to eat wings up right now as part of my new cooking channel series. Right. It's called You're Eating It Wrong, and I interview Crazy Legs Conti, who's a competitive eater.
Right,
and he taught me.
And he like breaks the bone. And...
Well, that, but he also says that the meat to bone ratio of the flat is 0.66.
Okay.
The meat to bone ratio of the drumstick, 0.49. In other words, more meat to bone in the flat. Plus more tender meat, as you say, because it's got more fat in it. So it's more meat and better meat in the flat. All you got to do is have a good strategy to find out how to
That's
eat it.
That's interesting. I would not have, just without doing any research, would not have thought that there
Are
was
you gonna
more
question
meat.
Crazy Legs Conti, a man who had his name changed on his birth certificate to Crazy Legs?
No. No, it's just an interesting point because it kind of, but no, actually now that I look at it, it does make sense. I mean, because you see that big, I mean, there's that big chunk on the drum that is a bigger chunk than any possible chunk on the flatty. So that's kind of what jumps out at you and you think, oh, more meat.
But if you remove one of the bones from the flat, then you see.
Yeah.
Let's eat some wings and we'll keep talking.
Okay.
I'm curious to get your thoughts. This is, you know, you and I have been getting along real well here in this interview so far, but I think that things could take a turn south when I tell you that I believe that buffalo wings might be better when served and eaten with the sauce on the side.
Wow. What is the advantage of... I like the idea of extra sauce on the side.
Okay.
But why can't the wings also be sauced?
Well, one of the criteria that you talk about in the film is crispiness.
Right.
When you sauce wings, you are automatically reducing crisp.
Right.
Then the other thing is that, you know, to each his own in terms of the quantity of sauce you may want.
Right.
Like you said, you like extra sauce. You might want a lot of sauce.
Right.
So let's assume that the side of sauce offers an unlimited quantity. I think the main thing is that it maintains crisp. Wings will turn soggy. And I don't understand. I mean, I the only counter argument I can imagine is that there's a certain sort of absorption that takes place.
Yeah.
When the wings sit in sauce. One of the places that you go to in the film, they actually said that made a point of saying that we don't mix the wings with the sauce.
We paint the sauce on.
We paint the sauce on because we don't want the wings to get soggy by stirring them around a lot. So clearly it's a concern.
This is a great wing, by the way.
I'm so glad you like it. Why not eat wings with the sauce on the side?
You know, I am not as dogmatic as one might think. I think that could be a fine way to eat wings. To be honest with you, I think...
But is
it
better? Is it closer to perfection?
I am open to that notion. I think... You know, are we talking about better taste or better overall experience? It does seem to be a little bit of a hassle to have to do that with every bite. And there, you might get into certain angles where you just can't get sauce.
What if you have a spoon?
Right. Spoon, bowl. But, you know, maybe the bar is not going to provide that for you. Maybe the waitress is going to give you an attitude. But, I mean, I'm just kind of nitpicking. I mean, I think it's fine. I mean, I'll certainly try it. And you look disappointed. Were you spoiling for a fight?
A little bit, yes. But I want you to take a stand on whether or not it might be better than the traditional way.
I'll try it and then...
Yes, let's try it.
Okay. You want to do a play-by-play and I'll...
Yeah, Matt's going to take a wing and dip it in. Now, I want you to evaluate this... The sauce is secondary here because this technique can be done with any sauce.
Right.
The question here is just the eating experience.
So here's where you run into problems. So my flatty will not go into the small dipping bowl that I've been given. So I'm going to have to pour onto my flatty, which is fine, but I'm going to very quickly run out of sauce. It is, I believe, an inconvenient way to eat wings. But the question here is it better? So let's set aside the point about it being harder for a second. I'm gonna bite into the wing.
Matt has poured the sauce over the wing. It is now biting in.
That was good. That was very crispy. Let me do a control bite of a wing that has already been sauced.
Please do. We need like a crispometer, like a sort of a sound effect detector that can detect crisp and crunch.
My first reaction is that, you know, I think you're onto something here, Dan. The wings are slightly crispier when you pour the sauce on or dip the sauce on. You have to go to more work, obviously, but I think they are a little better that way.
Wow. Well, that concludes the interview. I appreciate that, Matt. And I mean, you're not telling me anything I didn't know, but I still appreciate a wing aficionado like yourself saying so.
I want to also point out, Dan, not to harp on this, but I am running into, like, now I've eaten, I've kind of taken my first pass at the flatty, so I've maybe taken 6 bites. I've got the meat cleaned off both sides, and I'm want to go in the middle, and I'm not quite sure I'm going to have to pour the sauce again. And
oh, you're commenting on my sauce on the side technique, but Matt, the problem there is not with my technique; it's with yours.
Well,
I think that your flat eating technique is really lacking.
Oh, right.
I mean, you have got to separate the two bones.
Yeah.
Unless you want to do the meat umbrella, which is featured in that web video of mine.
Yeah.
Do you know the meat umbrella?
Yeah.
Where you put the two bones vertically on the plate. You press. Yeah. You hold it tight with your fingertips. You press down, and the meat kind of strips off the bones.
Yeah, my technique is I've never
you
really
don't split the two bones.
Never
you
really.
You gotta find
into
some
that
way. If you're not gonna do the umbrella, then split the two bones. You split them. You remove one, and then the meat is very easy to access.
I agree, though, that the problem is with me here. I don't. I mean, I have no real defense. Just that I spent so many years eating wings before I even came across the technique that I just never adopted it. Can I make a point about the Chipotle barbecue?
Please do.
You know, wings are getting better. They've gotten better in my lifetime. You know, I hate to, like, I have some little quibbles. There are things that I preferred about wings back in the day, but there's such variety, and there's more people than ever that care about making wing sauces. It's really kind of a golden age for wings.
Well, but this is again, moving us away from the school of thought that says there is a perfect platonic ideal of wing to pursue, and moving us towards the idea that there is a constant evolution. Perhaps these two schools of thought are not mutually exclusive. I think the myth of the perfect wing is important.
Right.
We need to keep that in the public's mind. People need to think about the perfect wing as a thing that could possibly someday be achieved. Because why else would chefs continue to improve upon it?
Right.
Matt Reynolds, director and star of The Great Chicken Wing Hunt. Check it out at chickenwinghunt.com. The movie is available now also on iTunes. You can buy it on iTunes. It will be available on Hulu starting January 30th. It will also be at film festivals and the screenings and events all over the country, so check the website for the details on that. Matt, I really enjoyed the film. I love your perspective on wings and love, and you're obviously a wise man. I look forward to seeing what you're going to do next.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure eating these wings. I hope people enjoy the movie. I mean, I think there's something, you know, for everybody, even people who aren't super into food, but I'm talking to people who are listening to a food podcast, so...
All right, that does it for this week's show, friends. My thanks to the nice people at the Village Poorhouse on 3rd Avenue in Manhattan who were very hospitable and made us some delicious wings. Reminder, again, check out my new cooking channel web series, You're Eating It Wrong, which features some revolutionary methods for eating wings. You need to watch this video before the Super Bowl. One is about falafel, where I take issue with the fact that a lot of bites of a typical falafel sandwich don't have falafel in them, so I set out to create a better falafel sandwich, and I think succeed with the help of a great chef. One of them is about how to eat a slice of pizza, which I talked to Patsy Grimaldi, who's been a guest here on The Sporkful, pizza legend in New York City, and I show him some pretty revolutionary techniques, and he pretty much dismisses all of them to hilarious effect because he's old school, but he's awesome. You'll find it at Sporkful.com. And in general, if you like these videos, I'd really appreciate it if you could share them, Facebook, Twitter, etc. I'll be back in 2 weeks. Until next time, I'm Dan Pashman reminding you to eat more, eat better, and eat more better.